All right, let's do it.
Cool.
Welcome to Between Sundays. I'm Tyler, and the world behind the text is that we are flying by the seat of our pants, everybody. We just wrapped up campus weekend, so whether you're finding ways to remember God's faithfulness in North Indy, you did something in Fishers, I can't even talk about it because Kevin Roth hasn't sent me his speaker notes yet, or you went home with a car full of balloons for being a superhero at 146th Street, we are bringing it all together today.
Oh, yeah.
And a little later, we'll be speaking with Mandy Polster, director of the upcoming production, Mary Poppins at Grace. But before we get into it, now that they're finished chasing their meds with spoonfuls of sugar, let's welcome in our favorite co-hosts, Marin and Barry. Good day, guys.
Good
day.
Good day. We both looked at each other like, what?
It's weird. Campus weekend. All right. Nobody thought about the pod for campus weekend.
I'm stuck on the chasing the meds part.
We're getting there. So... Nobody thinks about what's in it for the pod when we do campus weekends.
I know.
So it's like, I'm going to write this intro. I usually, you know, I'm in the moment with the sermons. Smash cut to three different sermons.
Yeah.
Smash cut to there's friends of the pod from all over the world.
Right.
That didn't see the same thing. So I can't write the same intro for everybody. So I'm just going Mary Poppins.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Because our guest is from Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little hard for us to be in multiple places at once.
Yeah.
So,
or maybe the world is our oyster and we can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Ooh.
That's what we're going to do today. Like I said in the intro, we only got 2 out of 3 today, guys. We, all of us,
it's not for lack of trying.
We're in different places this past weekend.
Yeah.
I thought I had all the notes, all the speakers' notes. I thought I was studied up. Turns out I had a version 2017 notes from Fisher. So
I did,
we can talk about last year's sermon from Kevin if you want.
I did their campus weekend last year and I was reading the sermon notes that we got and I'm like, this is very familiar.
If it wasn't for about 30 seconds ago, Marin saying, did you get my message about it, Kevin sending the last year's sermon notes? I would have had a whole thing with a bunch of questions about Ezekiel 37 in here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that was cool.
That was not going to...
Kevin talked about zombies.
Kevin and everybody at Dry Fishers would have been like, what are they saying? That wasn't this weekend? Yeah. Anyways, it's great. It's great to be with you guys. How in the world are you? What's new? What's happening?
Got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, same. Even though it's always once a week. It's just once a week.
It's just, I think it depends on how much transpires in that week. And I feel like there was a lot that transpired.
There was a lot. I mean, last week was nuts for me. I came in saying I was stressed last week. I definitely stayed stressed most of the week. I had, you know, seminary was kicking off. I had the pastoral leadership team retreat, the sort of mid-year retreat. Anyway, but then this weekend I had the Fuse fall retreat, which I was speaking on, and that's our middle school ministry. And it was a blast.
Oh, great.
It was amazing. It was so much fun.
Tell us all about it. I want to hear all about it.
All right. Like, I think the number was around 245 middle school students came from all three of our campuses.
Is that like average? Is that what we're doing these days?
I don't have any idea. It sure felt like a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot of boys jumping off of things and girls walking around in tight huddles.
And some had to miss just because of school activities that are already underway and happening. So I know we're running more kids.
Oh, for sure. There were definitely more that didn't make it. But it was a lot of energy. It was really fun. The retreat was, it kind of went off without a hitch. The worship team did a phenomenal job. The production team did a phenomenal job. There were great games. There was a dance party. Kids had a blast. So
cool.
I watched every video that I could find having anything to do with where my daughter was, the kind of night she was having. It was awesome.
That's right. We had like a three-way group text between the three of us. And you were telling me some backstory on Desi.
Because you seem to really be kind of finding out more of her character.
Totally.
While you
barely know her, but just to see her walking around with a ukulele case everywhere she went and to find out that that's actually not new.
No.
That's been part of her MO for a while. It was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fun. So for my messages, I kind of did a middle school version of You Were Made for More.
Yeah.
And my sort of running metaphor for the weekend was the idea that, these students are like acorns, and acorns were made to grow into mighty oak trees, but they also, if they're not planted in the ground, they also can become squirrel food. So I started my very first message by saying, I have 5 words for you. The most important words you're going to hear all weekend. You are not squirrel food.
Nice.
And they all thought that was pretty cool.
They did. Desi,
that's a good shirt.
So I pulled up to the Fisher's parking lot to pick up my child, and just waiting for my child to come to my car, I heard another child running across the parking lot to get to her parents' car saying, I am not squirrel food.
Yes.
So it caught on.
That is all
they
I ever want
to
hear.
Took it home with them, and Desi said she wished she had a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, that maybe we need to make those.
I love squirrel noises.
So one of the thing that I did, which was really goofy, but definitely brought the message home, was I had a running joke through all of my messages. Anytime I showed the picture of a squirrel, everybody was expected to boo and hiss. Yeah. And the kids really got into it. They loved it. So there was a lot of just screaming and booing anytime there was a squirrel on. So I'd throw it in at random points. I'd be like talking about God loved you before he made the world. So I was like, yeah, before anything, before he made galaxies or planets or squirrels. And there'd be an image. And of a sudden, everybody's caught off guard and starts screaming. It was really fun.
That's awesome.
Eventually kids started taking that a little farther and would actually, through their small group leader, would send me videos of them booing at
a toy squirrel.
Okay. Although there was one real squirrel that got booed at least one. So
yeah, of course, man.
And I made it clear. I was like, guys, I love squirrels, but for this weekend, squirrels are the enemy. So.
And by the way, I think I've said it here. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. If squirrels didn't have furry tails, we would hate them. The only thing that we enjoy about
once,
squirrels.
He's said it 1,000 times.
He has said it a few times, actually.
That's the only thing that's keeping squirrels in our
favor.
Beloved favor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, okay, that sounds great.
It was fun. And I mean, it was cool. And I intentionally kind of partnered with the small group leaders. They had some questions that were really well crafted. That, by the way, the whole student ministries team, both central and campus, is they're all rock stars. Mm-hmm. And just incredible job that they did, but they helped to create some really great small group discussion questions. So I knew going into it that it wasn't just sermons in a vacuum, that we were working together to give the students really great questions to process what they had just heard. And so, man, everybody was just like on the same team, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So
actually, Desi's here. Why don't we bring her in?
We totally could just knock on the window.
Would she come on?
She would.
All right.
She would totally come on.
It's like triple pane glass.
I'll go get her.
Okay, yeah.
No, she was super, what's the word? She was more positive than she's been in a while. Coming home from the Fuse retreat, she was all hyped and had nothing but positive things to say. And now she's all smiles running into the studio.
Yes.
Welcome, please.
Desi.
Desiree Gaffron.
Put on some phones and get on the mic, girl.
What a great idea.
For bringing you in.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Desi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yay!
That's what we do when we got guests. All right. So do we need to tighten this thing?
We're good. Okay. She'll just scoot over.
So we're talking about the Fuse retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And you just went on it.
Yes.
So I need all the deets.
Deets?
Details. Come on, that's what the kids are saying.
That's what all the cool kids are saying these days.
You gotta humor him. Humor him.
Okay. Yeah.
So where do I start exactly?
What did you like about it? What did you learn? What are you taking away?
I'm taking away that I'm not squirrel food, which I like the message.
Well, you don't have to say that because Barry's here.
I can leave if you want to start trash talking.
Would you explain what the message meant? Because at one point, I think you told me that squirrels were like the devil. And that's when I was like, well,
I don't think that's what it was
nailed
supposed
it.
To be. But like,
This is riveting pod.
I'm glad. And we are totally putting you on the spot.
Yeah. So,
what did you take away from it?
I took away that I'm not squirrel food, and that together, like, we can turn the broken world that's a desert, we could turn it into a forest by like spreading the love of God. And I like that message.
Yeah.
Like even like when we work together, like I like the thing at the end, like where we all held hands and like, I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
The old things. I like that.
That's cool.
At the end we had students and leaders alike. They all locked arms like roots. My whole third message is all about how roots work together. So everybody stood and held arms and then kind of yelled out the big ideas from all three messages. That's one great way to have your congregation remember your messages, to make them scream your big idea back at you.
While holding hands.
Yeah.
What were the three big ideas then?
Number one, Well, I won't put you on the spot. I remember them all. Number one was, you are a child of God. Number two was, you were made to be a life bringer.
Mm.
And number three is, you are a part of the family of God. So,
Desi, would you wear a shirt that said, I am not squirrel food?
Oh, yeah.
I'm on it. Okay, so what do you do on a Fuse Fall retreat? What happens at these things?
A lot happens. I brought my ukulele. I brought it last year, too, and my small group had a lot of fun with that. We write stupid songs, or mostly I do, and then we put it on the bus.
Yeah.
Just mindlessness.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun mindlessness.
Okay, so does everybody in your small group know how to play ukulele?
No.
Just you?
They try.
Yeah.
But, like, it's fun to watch them try. Some of them do, but, like,
eh. Yeah. And then are there, like... What happened? Like, is there like high like, ropes courses
talk about
and
free
stuff?
Time. What'd you guys?
Oh,
love?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So me and my friend, we went on the big swing, and it was kind of scary, but like it was also really fun. So like we went on the swing, we went on the zip line. That was really fun, and like we just walked around and like yelled and like went on the ropes course thing. We did that a lot.
Went around and yelled.
Yeah. One of our themes for like basically the entire trip. Do you know what vines are?
I do.
Iconic vines.
Mm-hmm. How old do you think I am? Of course I know what vines are.
Okay, so there's this one vine. It's like, hey, how much money do you have? 69 cents. Oh, you know what that means?
I don't have enough money for chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I'm a connoisseur of vines.
Yeah, that's true. The only reason I know anything about vines is because of Barry.
Maren is very impressed right now.
I spend any time at Barry's house or he's at my house, we end up watching vines.
Literally, that's one of me and Olivia's favorite things to do when we're just killing time. We just watch compilations of vines.
Yes.
Yes.
So one of my friends, she liked to run off and like explore. So like we kept losing her. So we developed the thing like we just like screamed at like the entire camp, how much money do you have? And if you heard 69 cents, then you'd go and run after them. So that was basically our thing the entire time. Oh, and we got lost a lot. So we had to use that a lot.
Yeah.
You got lost a lot?
Yeah.
And so you just screamed out, does anyone have 69 cents? So, and
no,
that's how
just,
you'd find your way back?
Yes.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Okay. It's your North Star.
Did you have alone time again? Is that something they do every year?
Yeah.
You did that last year and this year. Tell us about that.
I like that. I like just like walking around, like listening to nature. I like looking at all like nature.
What's the purpose of that, of the alone time?
It's to like get closer to God, I think, like to pray more. And to like,
these are total mom questions.
Yeah.
Oh, mom is on the pod.
you had done the alone time before,
mm-hmm.
but did you know of anybody that had done it for the first time that maybe had a harder time with it?
Probably the sixth graders.
Yeah.
They probably had a hard time with it. Maybe seventh graders. I don't know.
Do you bring anything? Like, do you bring a paper and pen or?
They give you a packet. Like, I like the whole packet idea because like sometimes I can get like off topic, like I can get like lost. So like there's packets with questions and stuff like read this verse or like stuff like that. Like take a walk and like listen to the sound of your feet. That's one of the things it said.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Because you are known on this pod as like the artist who listens to sermons and draws.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do much of that on the retreat or is it kind of...
Yeah, I actually did. I didn't really come up with a lot of things because the sermons were shorter, but like I did kind of like that because like we had more time to jump around and
scream. Just walk around screaming.
Yes.
Okay.
So like I did do a couple of notes. My journal's not here, so I'm kind of sad about that, but I did do a couple of drawings and all that. I did take notes, so yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
What'd you think of the worship? Was that good this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm kind of sad that they didn't do the whole Disney theme like last year, because like they like one of the leaders at Fisher's, he sang "You're Welcome" from Moana, and that was really great. Like he dressed up as Maui and everything.
But this year you did have leaf blowers and toilet paper.
Yeah,
you did. Everybody got a leaf blower.
Oh. What'd they do?
I think I saw Joey put like a roll of toilet paper on like a paint roller. And, like I just saw it shooting, so I thought it was an automatic paint roller, but I think. Was it
That'd
a
be
leaf
cool.
roller?
It was a leaf
it was
blower,
a leaf
yeah.
Blower. And then, like, there was toilet paper everywhere. And, yeah.
Who had to pick that up?
I did.
Oh,
I helped.
Joe, man.
The worship team and me, we cleaned it up.
I just want to know why we can't worship like that in big church.
Right?
Like, that would be intense. That'd be amazing.
What's the symbolism of a bunch of toilet paper flying in the air during worship?
We were made for more.
all right, Desi, your mom's on the pod. She's famous. Mm-hmm. How's that feel? What's it like to be, because you come here every week and you sit on the other side of the triple pane glass we're sitting in here.
Why are you coming here lately? Because I could just drop you at home.
Oh, would you get in trouble?
What?
No.
What?
Oh. We got stuff to do.
Are you grounded?
I mean, I think it's Mary Poppins rehearsal.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. You're in Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going better than I thought it would.
Oh, you had low expectations?
I mean, I thought I'd be like more of a nervous wreck with it, but I'm starting to get used to all the fast dancing and all that, so I'm happy about that.
Who's catching on faster, you or your mom?
All the way. Desi, 100%. Yes. 100% Des.
Are you into theater and singing and this kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. I know you play the ukulele, but what other kinds of stuff are you into?
I'm in choir at school.
Okay, so you enjoy singing and what about Mary Poppins like drew you to be interested in doing it?
I mean, one of my friends, she was in Beauty and the Beast last year, and she was saying that like how much fun she had.
Oh,
like,
cool.
I wanted to be in it with her. Like one, that was one of the points, and also
Desi's pausing so Mary can take a picture of
Mom's
her.
Mom's got to take a picture of this. This is too much.
As you were saying, I'm sorry for the rude interruption.
Okay. So, I've never been in a musical before, but like this was a pretty large scale one. There is a musical at my school, but I think I'm on crew for that because like I don't really have enough time. But like I wanted to be in a musical because like I've never done that before, and also I just want something to do. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Can't be bored.
Yeah.
So what role are you playing in the musical? Are you a chimney sweep? Are you a penguin?
I wanted to be a penguin, but I actually
didn't. So there are penguins?
Yeah, the kids are the penguins. Whoa. The kids are the penguins.
Spoiler alert.
Oh
shoot.
No,
sorry.
Okay.
That was a surprise? Oh. Well, I hope
it's
grown
like one of the
man
only things
be.
I remember from the movie.
Hope the largest man wouldn't be a penguin.
Oh darn, the kids are the penguins, can't see it anymore.
Yeah, it's over.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So my role is Annie. It's a very minor character. I have one line.
Ooh, you got a line.
Yeah,
tell them. That's cool.
What you can give it away.
Yeah.
What
do,
is your line?
Do you
line?
Say it in a Cockney accent?
Yes, mother. I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to say it though. So I'll just figure that
Look
out.
Look at you,
yes,
a dialect
mother.
Coach.
Yeah.
Dialect coach.
You need a dialect coach.
That's good.
All right, so Fuse Retreat, success. You're going to go on the next one. You said this year's was way better than the last one.
Wait, tell him.
I'm what? In eighth grade.
Oh.
There is no next fall retreat.
Wait, there's an eighth grade retreat, though, at the end of the year.
Yeah, so you're
just
crossing the bridge at the end of the year.
Oh, no.
Oh.
You know what happened when Jaden crossed the bridge?
He never came back.
What? Oh my gosh. Where is he?
His voice never came back.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
So we'll
came
see.
Came back a man.
Anything cataclysmic happens to you when you
never came back.
I wouldn't say a man.
Oh.
No offense.
He's not here to defend himself.
Yeah. That's right. We'll have him on next time and he can.
You guys should have a sibling pod where all you do is bicker. That would be amazing. You'd be so good at it.
Get all the drama.
Mm-hmm. Spill the tea, girl.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, were you with your mom last night when she got stuck?
When she got her tire.
All right.
No, she was at the retreat, remember?
So she was safe
and cared for. No,
oh,
this
that was Saturday night. All right.
Yeah, she's all good.
Let's talk about it.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Speaking of spoiler alert, I just stepped all over it. But can you tell us what happened this weekend?
Oh, it was quite a week. So I'll go back to Tuesday. I went and saw my mom on Tuesday for my birthday. I took a day off work.
Happy birthday, by
Thanks,
the way. We
friends.
Should have said that last week, and I just did not.
Oh, no. Solid.
Do it.
So I went and saw my mom in this vehicle. Drove to Chicago.
Your personal vehicle,
and
right?
Back, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's not like you've had a church van or something.
To be fair, let's call it Jed's car. Let's not call it my... It's not my car. This is Jed's car. But it's better on gas mileage. So I took it to see my mom, came back, back to work, busy stuff. And then Saturday, my sister's 2-year-old was having a birthday party. We went to South Bend to celebrate her. And it just so happens that my husband's siblings live 11 minutes away from my sister. So we kind of got to see everybody, got to see, my husband's parents were in South Bend visiting my husband's sister. So really it felt amazing. We got to see my sister, my parents were there for the birthday party. Then we shifted gears and went over to the Gaffron side and got to see Jed's parents and Jed's sister and his kids and, or her kids. And it was super, super cool. Mm-hmm. Jaden was not with us because he had yet another marching band competition.
This guy, so, man.
The saving grace of this entire story, there's a few, but one in particular, talking about community and awesomeness. Buffy Merriman is one of our coworkers here, and her eighth grader is also in marching band. So we called her from South Bend saying, hey, we're going to try to get there on time. These kids get home super late. Like they get home like midnight, you know, from these competitions. By the time they're done unpacking the trailer and having their post-competition huddles and things, it's pretty late. And so, hey, if we can't get there in time, would you be able to give Jaden a ride home? So she said, yes, which is great because on the way home, right at the perfect middle of nowhere location, we blew a tire.
Oof.
And we were still about an hour and a half away from home. So, hey, Buffy, we definitely won't be able to get to Jaden on time. Thank you so much for bringing him home. And she was super sweet. She was offering to come and help us, but we're an hour and a half away. I would not ask a friend to drive an hour and a half to come help me change a tire. Now, why
it's
did we
need
help?
Better to have a stranger
why
on the side of the road.
Changing the tire
in the dark at night. Yeah.
We had a spare. We didn't have a jack to change the tire.
Wait, why though?
Let's not talk about why.
Because most cars that have a spare also have a jack. So what happened to the jack?
Human folly. That's all. You just chunk it up to human folly.
So it's been misplaced.
We have roadside assistance and, you know, they were awesome. They said, okay, we'll come out as soon as we can, which was actually 90 minutes later was as soon as they could.
Wow.
So Jed and I sat in the dark contemplating all of life's important lessons about remembrance and,
but hey, you know what? Free date night.
Is that so?
Yeah.
And so you didn't get home.
No, till like 2:30 in the morning that morning. The scariest thing is just how fast the trucks whiz by on.
Because you guys were on the highway.
Yeah, we were just pulled over as far as we could be, you know, but still like the whole little aluminum box of a Scion car like just shakes. It just rattles when these trucks go by.
So when situations like this happen, first of all, Desi was laughing. So like clearly it's funny to your kids.
Oh yeah.
But
good times.
In the moment, are you mad at Jed or are you guys laughing together? What's happening?
I am trying to be gracious, but I'm furious. Inwardly, I'm furious. because I had just driven that car to Chicago. And I'm like, what if this was me? What if I had been alone somewhere along 65? Like, I'm sure he would have come out and like, you know, rescued me or something. But the point is, if you're going to have a spare, you should also have the other thing that helps you make the spare worth having,
In general.
But my favorite thing about being on the road with Jed is just the music we listen to. We're all over the map when we listen to music. And so on our way to South Bend, we had gone from like classic rock to somehow ended up, you ever hear the Smiths? We were on the Smiths. I'm looking at you because I know you would be the one that was
heard of the Smiths.
Sorry,
no, I definitely haven't.
We were listening to...
I'm out.
There's a lyric that says, if a 10-ton truck kills the both of us, to die by your side, the pleasure, the privilege is mine.
Oh, was that romantic?
Was that playing right when the wheel blew out?
Was on the way to South Bend. So on the way home, on the side of the road, whizzing trucks, you know.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Thank you. Yes. That was how I kind of made light of the situation, was just like, you know, Jed, if a 10-ton truck...
And what's he doing? Is he panicking or is he like...
He's apologizing profusely. He can't say it enough. He's just...
That's so good.
So sad that this is happening.
That's so good.
But we made it. But anyway, too long, long story short, that's why we didn't make it to Fisher's. So I have never been more happy that live streaming is a thing because we just crawled through the door.
Yep.
All just defeated, but happy to be alive. And we live streamed the service.
All right.
Sunday morning.
Great. Wow. Okay. So let's just lightning round talk about what happened at each campus. See if there's any trends or anything that stood out. So Kevin Roth, like I said, I'm blaming him. I'm throwing him under the bus, everybody.
Do you because, have homework to finish? Would you like to be dismissed?
Yeah, Desi, do you need to go?
You can go if you want.
I mean, I don't really have any place in this conversation.
No, you can go. Thanks, Desi.
Thank you, Des.
Great work.
Thank you.
So Kevin sent me notes. So here's what I have about what happened at Fisher's.
Can you share it with us?
Nope. I'm just going to read what he sent me. And this is for all we know, this is all that happened at Fisher's. Okay. He said, I just sent you the correct notes. Sorry. My favorite opening line in a message yet. What do cigarettes and soccer have to do with church? And I almost lit a cigarette on stage. Didn't want to violate policy, though, so I just pretended to light one. Whoa. So great things are happening in Fisher's.
What?
Oh, now I want
to
know.
Yeah, you got to qualify everything you just said.
I don't know. That's the text he sent me, and I haven't read his email yet. So that's what happened in Fisher's.
Well, the smoke machine cranks the stuff out in Fisher's. I mean, we've all been there. Have you noticed that their smoke machine is pretty, pretty assertive?
It's not smoke, though.
It's haze. So I feel like he probably could have lit the cigarette and no one would have known.
Probably.
I saw on Instagram, I saw couches set up on their stage and people talking, but that's all I know.
Oh, yes, okay. And I saw on Planning Center that they had live interviews.
Okay.
So that's what the couches must have been for. I also saw, as I've been trying to watch every video pertaining to everything that happened across our vast three campus reality and children, I saw some songs that they did, which were awesome, but I noticed our friend David, who I've only seen play bass here at 146, was on at Fisher's. And
really?
I think it was David's first time at Fisher's.
That's cool.
Yeah.
A little band chair.
Super, super cool. I love to see it, like, just see campus crossover and to see us
mixing
it
up
and being a family. I love, love, love that.
That's awesome.
Cool. So we're just going to skip right over Fisher's. All right. Fisher's, folks, I'm sorry. It's Kevin Roth's fault.
Whatever.
All right. So North Indy, Rob Yoden, actually the whole point of his sermon was celebrating 1 year in the YMCA. Mm-hmm. And we've talked here about faith triggers in the past. And he kind of talked about the things that are in our lives that we remember God's faithfulness to us. And so I wanted to just kind of talk about, because my home campus is North Indy. Maren, you're kind of would you say you go to Fisher's?
Yeah. So Desi goes to Fuse at Fisher's, Jane goes to Merge at Fisher's. Jed is leading a rooted group at Fisher's.
Yeah.
So pretty much y'all pretty are much. Fisher's
yeah.
people.
Yeah. Barry, you're kind of neutral.
Well,
but
I
you
have
preach
a,
at
I'm
one
neutral.
Campus.
I preach at 146th Street. So I'm here the most often. Yeah. It's also closest to where I live, but, I'm on a rotation now where I'm trying to get to each campus as regularly as possible just to be present.
And, yeah.
But it's harder than it sounds.
Right. Sure. And that's why I answer that my family goes there, because I'm with Barry. Like I'm everywhere. Yeah.
We're not going to the same campus at the same time.
Well, bless your heart.
My family.
Bless him.
My family goes to Fisher's and I'm with Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's hard to just feel like you're, like there's one place.
Yeah.
And it's hard too. Constantly circulating.
Right. And so like this past weekend, the weekend before this past weekend, we went to North Indy, like Olivia and I went, but then it's kind of weird when we also don't really have our own sort of church family that we see every week if we're constantly going to different places, but I don't know. It's weird. We're doing my best.
So at 146th Street, Melody Boyer, campus pastor, preached about God's nearness. And that's the campus I went to. I haven't been to 146th Street campus in well over a year and a half, probably. Mm. So it was my first time there in a long time, but she preached about, the whole theme was superheroes. So there were people walking around the lobby in superhero costumes and everybody on stage had like a superhero shirt or something on, that kind of went with the theme. But
Liv was really proud. Olivia, she was singing this past weekend at 146th Street and she found a Black Panther shirt for $2.
Wow.
What?
So she was very pleased.
Wow. Yeah. Go live.
Cool.
That's amazing.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. He's in her top three.
Yeah. Top three?
Yeah.
Marvel superheroes. Yeah.
Wait.
See now what? Yeah. We dismiss Desi too soon because Desi and Olivia can go on and on and on about Marvel.
That's true.
I only have like, I don't even know if I know three.
That's
impossible. I know three for sure. But I wouldn't say like, who's your top two?
Hers or mine?
Who would hers be?
Are you talking about superheroes?
Yeah. Because I wouldn't ever say like, yeah, Superman, he's in my top six.
That's fine, I guess.
Okay. Well, doesn't it start with like, are you a DC person or are you a Marvel person?
Probably.
Like, people pick sides.
Yeah. This is like a Newlyweds game question, but I know the answer. I believe this is correct. Captain America, number one, for sure, for Liv. And number two would be Scarlet Witch.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Left field.
I don't even know who that is.
I'm sorry.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. So Black Panther, number three.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. So Mel talked about how the kingdom of heaven is near. And, you know, out of all three campuses, 146th Street campus has seen probably the most like, I don't even know the right word, like upheaval of people coming and going in the last few years. And so
A lot of the folks that went to the different campuses.
Yeah, a lot of people came from 146th Street. Went to other campuses, like point blank. And so Melody is great at helping people, whether they're in the room, and she was preaching to the online audience as well, but she is fantastic at making everybody feel comfortable and welcome.
Yeah.
And so they focused a large portion of their worship songs and what she had to say. She spoke some in Spanish to welcome the Spanish speaking community that is starting to flourish at this campus.
Wow.
And she talked about how the kingdom of heaven is near.
Whether, sign language.
Sign language. She did the sign language thing.
She is amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so whether you are feeling like anxiety or depression, or you're suffering from addiction, or you're wondering about divorce, or you have a family trouble or whatever, the kingdom of heaven is near, and God is, you know, Jesus' purpose is to let us remind us that the kingdom of heaven is near. So
that's great. She just got back from sabbatical too. So this was right on the heels of that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So that was campus weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot more happened in Fishers, but again, I'm sorry that I don't know what that was. And in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about Mary Poppins. We've got a special guest, Mandy Polster, coming in, but Maren, how's your mom?
Mom is doing good. Actually, hopefully we'll get news tomorrow or possibly even today if she's been approved for surgery, which is that's a praise in my book. When she was first beginning all this medical treatment, they told her that surgery was not an option, that because it had spread to other organs, it was just about quality of life. So being at the chemo appointment with my mom, that was the first time I was ever actually able to be there in person with her, and kind of gave my dad a break, which was awesome to be able to do that. And the doctor said that the cancer that had spread to the other organs was responding so well, they wanted to consider surgery as an option now.
Whoa, wow,
that's awesome.
That's massively wonderful. And I just pray that the Northwestern Memorial's tumor board is meeting today to discuss my mom's case and their plan of action moving forward. So
wow.
She only has one more chemo treatment left. And then after that, I don't really know.
Mm. How is she feeling?
Great. So, I mean, anyone who knows anyone who has done chemotherapy before, typically they'll tell you that the week of chemo is hard. And then the next week they're feeling better, and the third week they're feeling great, but then they have to go back for another round. Mm. If it's like my mom's, which was every 3 weeks she received treatment. So the fact that my mom, a full day of chemo, that's like 5 hours of just different treatments. We went out for tacos the minute she was done. Hmm. And that was awesome. And then Saturday.
Feed me.
Tyler, really? Saturday she was in South Bend, like partying with my sister and our 2-year-old little my niece, her granddaughter.
Yeah.
So just to have her there, I think I had a question mark on Saturday, like would I see my mom? Would would maybe not? And it all depends on if she's feeling okay. But she's feeling great. She says chemo makes her feel better, not worse.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So great thank news. You for asking. And thank you every single listener who has ever prayed for my mom, even once. Thank you for your continued prayers.
It's awesome.
All right. Welcome back. We took a little break waiting on Mandy Polster, everybody. Welcome, hey. Mandy. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, Tyler.
Good.
Marin.
Hi.
Mary.
Hello.
This is producer Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Yeah. Mandy, so somebody told me you might be a little nervous.
Actually, I am.
No.
No. Well, nervous to be on the pod?
Yeah. Nah.
The feeling's mutual, and I'll tell you why.
I wondered if you were going to go there. No. Here it comes.
So, well, we'll get into your role in Mary Poppins in a minute.
Sure.
But you've been part of the drama arts community here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the only and first time I ever did anything theatric was in Les Mis a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pimp number two. And you pulled
in the script.
Yeah, we were like doing some. We were doing some scene, and the only scene I was in as pimp number two, and you were asking me questions like, "What is his story? I need you to like summon his. Why is he doing the things
really
that you're doing?"
Sounds like me, Tyler.
And I was like, "I don't know what." And so ever since then, I see you on videos, and I'm like. I get nervous.
Oh my gosh.
Because
I am
haven't you still haven't come up with that story.
I don't know his story.
You have been harboring this for what, like 4 years?
Yes.
Tyler, I'm so sorry.
But I'm glad you're here.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
This is strangely like the first show that we don't have kind of like the underlings as part of the storyline.
So, yeah.
No pimps, no prostitutes.
Good.
I don't know what to tell
Good.
You.
We've had enough of that.
Yeah.
So
exactly. It's family friendly. Family friendly show.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So I want to hear all about you. So you have been, like I said, we talked, you've been part of the dramatic arts community. How long have you been at Grace? Why do you care so much? Like how did you discover that you were passionate about the arts like this? And then we'll talk a little bit about your role in Mary Poppins specifically. But tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. I've been at Grace, my family and I have been here for about 9 years. There was a previous stint for about a year. My daughter, after she was born, we actually dedicated here and then we moved away for a while.
Yeah.
Came back to town.
She couldn't stay away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We couldn't. And so it's been about 9 years. And really part of the reason, of course, we did the traditional church shopping, I got to be honest, right when we came back. And we never went anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is really dialing back, but if you remember, there was like a Brady Bunch episode that they did for ministry outreach. I don't know if you remember that.
Like, here?
We did all the, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that, like,
yeah.
They did the squares
a series.
Of Brady. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It was like ministry outreach kind of thing. And there was a Brady Bunch series, and I was like, oh, I'm hooked.
Because you love Brady Bunch.
Of course.
Yeah.
We grew up with it, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did.
It was in syndication.
We
saw it too.
I watched it.
Yeah,
I definitely watched it
for sure.
Yeah.
Man, I'm dating myself.
No. Okay, so that hooked you.
Yeah.
And then when did you get involved in like the arts part of Grace Church? Right
Literally
away?
Like the next week. I think part of that video was, you know, come to the, you know, the outreach meeting and met Amy Christine, Tom Green was here and
cool.
Remember talking to them and then started coming on Wednesday nights. After that, and I'm trying to remember the very first show that I was involved in. Oh, yeah, that year we did Miracle on 34th Street.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And that was great. You know, got to do that with a lot of the drama team members. And so that was a straight book play. We kind of go back and forth between straight book plays and musicals. And so that was my first taste of it. And then when we've done musicals, I've tended to be kind of behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the question you asked about, you know, why arts here? Why?
Yep.
When did I get passionate about it? I said I was dating myself. I'm really going to date myself now. So I've been doing worship, arts, theater for about 35 years. Started, when I was an infant, whatever. And
we're the same age.
Yeah, cool.
Exactly,
happy birthday.
Exactly. No, strangely enough, when I was in elementary school, Mary Poppins was my very first show that I was ever involved in.
Wow.
That's cool.
So I have a great kind of like full circle energy for this whole thing. So
you Mary?
No.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. I was like chimney sweep number four on the
left. And why is that the first question people ask? When people found out
because
I was in this
production.
Because
it's the only character anybody knows.
Are you Mary?
Mary Poppins, right?
It's like, were you Mary or that chimney guy?
No, I remember actually my mom made an apron for me. It had a little patchwork on it. And I still have it.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
I love it. So costume's another part that I really love too. So
Yes. So you did costuming mm-hmm. for Beauty and the Beast a couple
yes.
years ago.
I lost my sanity.
Oh,
I
was going to ask because
I can't even imagine mm-hmm. the costumes
I
for that production.
I remember people dressed up as silverware and mm-hmm. yes. did you make these? Like what
oh,
happens
my goodness.
When you do
we
costumes
had
for a
such,
play at Grace?
We had such a team of people and we still do. There's probably typically between 6 and 10 people involved depending on the
wow.
size of the show.
Mm-hmm. Especially for that production, you can't just find those costumes at a thrift store.
No.
Or like a party store or
no.
anything like that.
No, exactly. We made over 700 pieces
oh,
for that show.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Plus more that were kind of found and brought in wow. and mm-hmm. things like that. So that costuming was actually furniture making.
One of my favorite yeah. things to do is rummage through our props department and just see the pieces we have.
You can get lost from there.
I mean, it's before I ever came here, but mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, look at that. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my goodness, the fork costume. Just mm-hmm. yeah. It's so cool.
Did you
I mean,
take
we kept
one?
That?
Did I take one?
We kept our fork costume.
Hey, trunk or treat's coming up.
You never know.
Oh, we do. People run them, actually.
That's really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
wow.
So last week we were talking to Amy and I suggested maybe in 2 years we can do Lion King. Does that make you collapse a little bit?
Just a little. Pardon me while I faint. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I mean, how so hard could it be?
Paul Santayana listens to this. He does a lot of the, kind of that specialty. He done a lot of the furniture making for Beauty and the Beast. He's
yeah.
doing some special elements for Mary Poppins, which I won't reveal.
Ooh.
Oh.
But,
okay, so
Desi
we've already,
may have spoiled
we've
it.
Done a couple spoiler alerts on this episode. Sorry.
Maren, seriously.
Well, all right. It'll just stay between the four of us.
Yeah.
Let us know what it is. Okay, so your... a volunteer director
mm-hmm.
this round,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if anybody.
Oh my goodness!
At this point, nobody knows that except for the people involved in the show.
Don't
but
tell my boss, please.
Oh, they don't know.
Oh my gosh! I try not to talk about.
Really?
It.
Oh
no,
well, they'll never listen
it.
To this, so
no.
it's fine.
Yeah.
What's that like? Like you're not usually people on staff mm-hmm. or associated some way with Grace Church, like. They're employed by Grace,
right.
Direct these things, but you're coming in as an expert,
yeah.
volunteer.
Expert?
Well, I will say whenever we're like up in communications, we're like, who do we get to act this really like intense mm-hmm. A+ role? It's like, we got to see if Mandy's available. So yeah, expert.
That's too
all right?
kind. I can't even respond to that.
So what compelled you to be like, I got this as a volunteer, I'm going to direct the whole shebang.
Well, long-standing relationship with Amy Christie. I mean,
okay.
she and I have really become, I'd say, pretty close friends over the last several years. And I've been by her side doing assistant directing. I directed Crucible
oh, yeah.
By myself. So a bit of a smaller cast, a little bit of a different feel.
Yeah.
In a different venue that was in Central. To raise my hand for it, man, I'm passionate about story. Like that's what hooks me into it. My mom teased me that I wanted to be a director because I wanted to play dress up for the rest of my life and
yeah.
be on stage. And it might be partially true. But,
yeah.
But to help connect the energies from relationships and scene to scene, part of the thing that I really love about Mary Poppins is, yeah, you've got the whiz bang and the show-stopping numbers. But if you pay attention to the storyline, there is so much heart in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much heart. And part of what we've talked about as a cast, and mm-hmm. I think you've been in the room too, is all the broken places we talk about. It's signified throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as being disconnected from God, that's implied. But all of the relational disconnect, it is all there.
Mm.
And so if you really pay attention to the storyline and you don't get too distracted
yeah.
by all of the magic that happens in the show, there's an incredible healing through the relationships of that show.
Mm-hmm. So did you know this before signing up or has this been part of the discovery process for you
yeah.
as the director?
Yeah. So,
did you know this when you did it as a elementary school child? You're like, there are so many broken places represented in the show.
I was very advanced.
Yeah.
No. Honestly, like, my conversation with Amy, I mean, it's been evolving
mm-hmm.
and she knows that I love being a part of that. And I think part of it too is she really had a passion and a tug in her heart to be involved and not just be on the, you know, in the audience seats mm-hmm. as a director, and not being engaged with the cast. She was really having a pull for that. So I don't want to put too many words in her mouth, but I think she was really wanting to be a part of the cast and that community too, which I totally agree. I mean, she
yeah.
is so talented and we see so little of it because she is behind
right.
the scenes. So kind of through conversation there, you know, we had an opportunity. She auditioned. I mean, she qualified for the part. And, you know, I think I knew that I was going to do this before we were totally sold on what the show was. So
okay, cool.
Then I started digging into Mary Poppins and really seeing what those themes were.
Cool. What has, maybe you already touched on it, but what's some of the most rewarding things of overseeing a production like this at a church?
Well, it's relationships. You asked me a while ago and I distracted myself. Big surprise there. But why I do drama in this community.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of it's a strange thing, I have to say. You know, I went into my college career. I was not saved. Gospel was not a part of my life. And during that tenure, I was a theater major, of course. And during that time, I came to Christ. My then boyfriend, now husband, actually brought me to Christ. And, you know, my heart started stirring. And most performance is very self-serving. You know, I know that's not a unique feeling for most performers, but I kind of had a crisis of conscience. Why am I doing this? I'm not doing this for me anymore. And so I had some self-examination there. It took several years. And I kind of put it aside for a while after I graduated. Started the family, that thing.
Sure.
But then came back to it. I was in a church on the south side of Indianapolis, and they kind of dabbled in drama a little bit, and I jumped in. And then we moved back up here. Man, my heart just came alive. You know, to see that, I mean, Christ, God is the original storyteller. I mean, you know, he uses story. He uses those, he paints these pictures of beautiful relationships and brokenness and healing. And to be able to do that for his glory and also see behind the scenes those relationships come alive, man, it is a unique experience. It's to see these artists supporting each other instead of competing against one another.
It's exactly what I thought when I was pimp number two.
Exactly, man. Hey, if you believe it, we believe.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, I'm just painting the picture. Just painting the picture just like God does, storytelling. All right, so what's been some of the most challenging things? Because, you know, resources limited at a church. We're making our own costumes and a lot of times. When you come to the show, you're like, this looks like a Broadway style, like level production. But what are some of the challenges being a part of the show, but also directing the show for you?
Man, I'll tell you what, community theater, I've got to put this angle on it first. Community theater is strapped to a level that you would not believe. I mean, it's people bringing things in from their garages and basements and their attics. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think people like me know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's everybody's bringing in anything they can to make it work.
That's cool.
And there's some of that element here, but I'll tell you what makes it so unique and so amazing is the production art staff here.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. They've been trained at amazing places and their skill level is so amazing. And as I step in as a volunteer director, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am spoiled beyond belief. There's no way I would have this experience if I went to the typical community theater downtown.
And by the way, a lot of the people on the production arts team that are so great at this are also volunteers, right? So like the people that build the stages, volunteers. It's incredible the level of expertise that we have at Grace Church. It's just, it amazes me every time one of these shows happen. Mm-hmm. Like we have people in our midst that can build chimneys on stage that look like real chimneys.
That are painting those chimneys while we're having dance rehearsals, while others are doing blocking, you know, while others are doing music. Right now, it's a very fun atmosphere in the evenings here at Grace when we're all coming together to practice the stuff. And then you hear the tinkering back in the wood shop. They're creating the set. It's just the energy is electric right now.
So,
what are some of the hardest things for you? Like, what's most challenging being in charge of something like this?
Keeping the plate spinning.
Yeah.
So, as a director, you probably have the vision of the megaphone yelling at the actors.
Sure.
You know, you move this way, move that way.
Chair with your name
right
on the back.
That hasn't arrived yet, Tyler. Yeah, okay.
We got to get on that.
Exactly. That part is actually a lot of fun, you know, being on stage, being with the actors, having fun, creating those moments, understanding the backstory of Pimp Number Two. What were we? I don't remember.
Which, by the way, why was that number two? I should have been number one, Pimp Number One.
You just got to bring it in your audition.
I had some like legit lines. Pimp Number One didn't have any legit lines.
There's just no answer for that.
we'll never know. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get to work with so many different teams. So, you know, I started on this back in January. And so starting to come up with the artistic vision and then making that more of a strategy and talking to, okay, we've got the production team. What are they going to make the set look like? What mm-hmm. what do we want the backdrop to look like? What's the lighting supposed to look like? And I love all of that, but it all spins very mm-hmm. fast and it accelerates all the way to opening mm-hmm. night. And really, it's probably just the speed of it. No yeah. single element is terribly difficult. It's just the number of plates and keeping them all going.
Can I just say that a lot of elements are terribly difficult?
Maren, what's the most challenging part for you?
Right. Lori Seiler, shout out to you. We love your choreography.
Yes. Yeah.
Are we going to have Lori on?
I would love to have Lori yeah. on. Let's bring her on.
Yeah, I would love to ask her that question. What's the most challenging? It's Maren.
are there names to the dances that you're doing?
Names?
Like the waltz or like is there a
So I'm not
yes,
I'm not
there's
a dancer.
A whole dance vocabulary when it comes
yes.
to choreography.
Okay. And I'm not a dancer. So I will hear we do have dancers that are like real legit dancers in this production who are doing things at a level that I can just watch and marvel at. And I hear them talking mm-hmm. to each other, like, oh well that's just a sachet with a kickball change with a Charleston with a
Maren.
Kickball change.
I don't know. I'm just gonna yeah. start making stuff up. But yeah they definitely have a lingo.
Yeah, they do.
If it makes you feel any better, when I did Les Mis, I didn't get the waltz correct once.
Uh-huh. Even in the shows.
No, to this day have never done the waltz correct.
Her head. She remembers.
You know how to fire a musket. That's something I do not know how to do.
That's true. I did do
Maybe that prepared you for your power washing.
The musket firing? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'm just hoping I have a dress long enough to cover my feet so that like... You know,
nobody sees your feet.
Yeah.
What?
Here's my thought.
Don't look at my feet if you come to this production.
Why?
Because so many... I'm going to be tripping all over myself.
Now that's all I'm going to be looking at.
You will not. This is what I tell the actors. If people are watching your feet, you're not doing a good enough job.
Okay.
Right?
Well, then I'm cool.
Because people aren't going to be looking at your feet.
My face
your
can do
face.
All of
that's
it.
That's right.
Just all the expressions.
It'll
once.
Be good. I have more questions. What about this... What about this show do you think? Because everybody, I think everybody's familiar with Mary Poppins. But even last week, we were talking about, Barry and I were sitting here, we're like, there were penguins. But like,
is there a scene with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang
yeah.
coming in? Or no, that's,
but like,
that's Disney. God,
unless
just
you,
took over.
Unless you came to the Mary Poppins night at 146th Street or you've seen it recently, or you're looking forward to this year's release in theaters, I'm not sure a lot of people are like, can recite the plot of Mary Poppins mm-mm. by heart. So mm-hmm. what do you think this production of Mary Poppins, what's going to be surprising about it to people that come and see it?
Well, I kind of already tipped off on it. I think if listeners, you know, friends of the pod mm-hmm. come in and they pay attention to the relationships where they start and where they finish, it's a beautiful journey. And I don't want to give it away. I don't want to say exactly what's there, but the typical
Mary
idea,
and Bert get married.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
We rewrote the script, everybody.
But Bert can fly.
Yeah, exactly. Man, Troy's doing some really cool stuff, yeah. I have to say. No, like the typical thought is Mary's there to fix the kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one view of it, but it's a pretty narrow view.
Yeah.
There's a whole family element.
Okay.
I'm going to give it away.
Yeah, don't spoil it. What has surprised you about this cast or the process or about the show in general?
Oh man, that's
Maren's Maren's dancing prowess.
Mm-mm. So surprising. Aren't we all surprised by that?
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, I the thing that jumps to mind that's really kind of been on my heart, and this kind of goes back to performers helping each other and mm-hmm. supporting one another. We have a unique setup where we have the three leads, which is Mary, Michael, and Jane, mm-hmm. so the two kids, also have understudies.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the six of them have actually unified and are really supporting one another, they're not competing with one another. They don't feel like they've got a one-up or outdo each other at every moment. They are a unit mm-hmm. amongst themselves, and that is really beautiful.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be surprised by it, but it took my breath away this week.
Sure. And I think another thing that's cool about this show that people may not realize is Some people, including Leeds, go to Grace Church.
Yeah.
Other people, including Leeds, don't. Mm-hmm. And so it's a whole like community event. That mm-hmm. was that's surprising to me still. Mm-hmm. And I'm on staff. I'm mm-hmm. like, that is so cool that a church in this area is inviting like community theater folks, people that are involved in theater around the area, even at other churches that are yeah. just interested in this kind of thing, mm-hmm. as well as people that attend this church to all be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's super cool and it also surprising.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think at the onset when there were so many outsiders, I have to say outsiders, right?
Sure,
they're not
yeah.
Grace attenders, came in. There was a collective sense of, oh, like this is ours. This isn't just ours anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are we going to open our arms to it? But we wanted it. Mm-hmm. We've actually been wanting that and praying for that for the last several years, and it's come to fruition.
That's cool.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And definitely within the drama team, we talk a lot about, you know, how are we going to open ourselves up and not just be this holy huddle for God.
Mm-hmm.
How do we start to invite the rest of the community into that? And through word of mouth, through, you know, wonderful performances, mm-hmm. people have actually paid attention and they wanted to be a part of it too. So that's amazing.
That's cool. I know you got to go. So tickets are on sale now. People can go buy them online. And anything that you want to say to friends of the pod to look forward to, like, what are you most looking forward to? I'm sure it's opening night, but is there anything you want to say to friends of the pod who may be listening?
Well, I want to remind everybody why we do this.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we have amazing artists here at Grace and we are spoiled by that,
mm-hmm.
but we don't do it just because we've got these people in our community. We do this to open the doors to this church mm-hmm. and maybe some perceive these doors as threatening because of their history, whatever, but mm-hmm. to open it in an environment where they're not going to feel like they're judged, they're going to sit and relax, but also be embraced by this community.
Yeah.
That's why we do it.
Yeah.
So you said the tickets are already on sale. They are, they're going extremely fast, like faster than we've seen.
Yep. We're in the multi thousands
at
this
point.
Exactly.
Wow. And it just opened on Thursdays for ticket sales. So buy a ticket. And buy a ticket for somebody else.
Yeah,
bring them in.
It's a great invitational mm-hmm. event. It's a great way to talk to that coworker or that mm-hmm. neighbor and just bring them to something lighthearted but with full of meaning.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, I'm someone that's like, oh, I don't know if I want to invite my friends to church, but like, this is the thing that we do once a year where it's like, yeah, you're inviting them to a church, mm-hmm. but it's easier to invite mm-hmm. people that you are praying for, people that you love, people that care about. This is an easier invitation mm-hmm. because it's entertaining, because it's not threatening, like you were saying. So.
Exactly. And it's multi-generational. You bring the entire neighborhood with you, and they're all going to find something within the show.
Why didn't, I guess it's marching band. I was going to say, why didn't Jaden do it?
Yeah, actually, so my husband has expressed some regret that he's not a part of the show.
Oh.
Like, as Desi and I are dancing around and singing and all this, he kind of has caught, I've caught him singing Mary Poppins songs, like, around the house. And he has said more than once, like, oh, I kind of wish I would have done it. But it is marching band season, and we desperately need one parent available at all times.
I have to shout out to my husband. You are amazing that you keep everything going at home while I'm doing this. Thank you.
Jake, we'll cut that part out.
No,
just
won't. No, thank you, Jake.
That is something that just knowing Amy goes on a lot around here. Mm-hmm. It's like the sacrifice that not just Marin and Desi are making, mm-hmm. but the family is mm-hmm. making on behalf of them so that they can participate in stuff that they love and they're passionate about and that God has called them to. That, mm-hmm. I think that in and of itself is beautiful. So that's good. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, man.
It was a pleasure.
I've finally been in here in the booth with you guys. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's, we are a grade A production today.
Doesn't she have an awesome speaking voice, by the way?
Tell me about it. Like I said, every time we're
made
like,
for
we need,
this.
We need like our best voiceover.
So can I like shout out my Gmail and everybody can?
Yeah. So if you want to
hire me for gigs.
Yeah.
kidding.
Thanks, Mandy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tyler. Thanks, guys.
Barry, where are we going from here?
Next week we are back onto the Exodus series, and I think it's about the plagues. I think
it
that's
is.
What's coming next.
Good
it is about the plagues.
Things should, to look forward to.
The plagues are coming.
Yeah, I think Dad's going to be speaking.
So
yeah,
And
bring your friends.
Fate, as fate would have it, we're dedicating my son on the weekend of plugs. Great.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a very family-friendly message.
Your firstborn son?
My firstborn.
We're dedicating him
on the day of the plagues.
Oh, yikes. This is too good.
Well,
this is too good.
Yeah, that was not in the the continuity process. That somehow slipped through the cracks.
Whoops. All right, that's going to be awesome.
We should have done it when we were talking about Moses, you know, being... You know,
baby
lifted out
basket.
Of the basket. Aw, nope.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Friends of the Pod, thanks for sticking with us today. I know there was kind of a jumbled show. It's not the traditional talk about the sermon thing, but Campus Weekend, we're going to have to figure that out, guys, because I don't know. Maybe we just cancel it. Cancel the show or cancel Campus Weekend.
Or do some we'll plan it out better next year so that the three of us can be in each place.
We'll just cancel it.
Doing some live recording.
I won't drive anywhere so that I won't get stranded on the side of the road for 2 hours.
And I've gotten some feedback, guys. People are in on the live event idea that we tossed out last week. So
cool.
If you are out on that idea, let me know. If you're like, nah, there's no way I'd go to something like that. Because I don't want to have this thing.
Didn't you already do something like that? Didn't you already put a poll out?
Yeah. And people said they would come, but there was 20% of people who were like, no, I'm not coming. That just totally discouraged me.
No, here's why people want to come. It has nothing to do with us. They want to meet each other because they
all
love the pod.
Well, that's why I
want
to have it. I want friends of the pod to meet friends of the pod and be friends of friends of the pod, you know? cool. So yeah, get your Mary Poppins tickets, gracechurch.us/theater and get them because they are going fast. I heard last Friday that we were 3,000-ish and we're higher than that now. Mm-hmm. So
last number I heard was 4,500.
Yeah. And that's almost halfway. So get your tickets.
Get your tickets.
All right. Maren, will you please do us the honors and send us out?
I would. Thank you, listeners. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God.
And we will see you on the other side of Sunday.
I don't have enough money for chicken nuggets.